Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday evening Bible study here at West End Church of Christ. I've asked Matt to begin our class with a word of prayer. So Matt, if you'll do that.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you now, thanking you for this time that we have set aside to study your word. We pray that much good will come from it. Pray that you be with Brad. Help him to remember everything that he's prepared. Help us as listeners to listen actively. Help us to take the things that we learn and apply them when we take the Lord's Supper. Help us to be ready to give a defense for it. Help us to take it in the right manner, and help us to just learn more and more about it so that we can be pleasing to you when we partake. We thank you so much for the Lord's Supper. We thank you that we're able to commune with you on the first day of the week. Thank you for your Lord sending your Son to this earth to live the life that we live and to die on the cross for our sins, giving his body and his blood for us, a perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. We thank you so much for everything that you bless us with. We pray that you be with those who are sick, those who are away from us at this time. Pray that you be with the other classes that are going on this evening, be with the children that are learning, and thank you for the blessing of them. Pray that you'll go with us now through this study. Help us to only take the things from your word. Help us not to use our own opinions, and help us to listen actively. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Matt, that was a good prayer. One of the things I noticed that you said in it was that we don't use our own opinions. And I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to do sometimes. Well, I'm human. And so we're talking about chapter 9, one cup, one bread, tonight. And John put that up for us. I like to put that up because it's not up there on Wednesday evening, you know. So that's what it looks like on Sunday morning. The elements that we use in remembering the memorial of the Lord's Supper. I want to start out this evening, and I want to tell you, I really hope that I can do our study tonight. I always hope that I can do the study justice, but I'm going to tell you, it's just like I said before, we could spend a whole nother quarter. There's so many things that I really want to talk to you about, and you know, if you know anything about me, you know that I like history. And I like recent history is what I like to call it. Things that I know people that were alive when they happened. But so many times I wish I had been alive when those things happened. Because they intrigued me. And, especially when they had to do with the church. Cause things happened, and you know, that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight are some controversies, that we talk about. You know, we can look at others and we can pick out some things that they don't do that we think are just not according to the scriptures, and they're not. We've talked about how to be careful about approaching people in that. But we can also look at ourselves and the things that we do. And I want to tell you, some of these things, you remember we talked about on Sunday how it's so easy to hate the sinner. I won't say it is for everyone. It's so easy for me to hate the sinner and not the sin. Am I the only one that has a problem, or am I the only one that comes easy to? Does that make sense? I'm the only one. Well, there's some of you shaking your head.
The last question was, does that make sense?
Okay, does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
Am I the only one that has a problem with that? No. Okay. Well, I hate that I'm not, but it's very easy. It's easy to find fault in it. If we can't see our faults, Terry, I'm going to pick on you, okay? If I can't see my faults, I can look at you and, man, I can write a book. And you're the same way, though. If you can't see your faults, you can look at me and you can find them, can't you? Terry's saying yes. That's so true. So we have to be mindful of those kind of things. But here's where I want to start our study tonight. I want to start it really where I want to end it. And I want us to turn to the book of John, chapter 12, and I want to read one verse there. Well, I say I want to read one verse. I want to read verse 48, but I think I better back up. And I want to read beginning in verse 44. where it says, Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now notice verse 48. I'm going to stop in this verse and make a comment or two. Remember, these are Jesus' words. He who rejects me. Now what that's talking about, the rejects me, is the incarnate word, okay? And does not receive my sayings, those sayings are the written word, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For, let's listen to what he says. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Now, the reason I wanted to start there is, you see, from that we learn that all of us who want to be pleasing to God, we have to do one thing. We have to, in fact, diligently study God's Word, but we have to do something else too. We can't only diligently study God's Word. What's the other part of that? What? You have to do it. You have to do it. You have to live by it. Well, so then, what does that mean to me? Well, this would apply to all of us, to each and every aspect of our Christian life, including the observance of the Lord's Supper. Would you agree? And we're in agreement. Well, tell me. Here's the question. Tell me. Just why is that? It's not a trick question. Why is that? Verse 48. Let's read it. Why that is because Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, it's a written word, has one who judges him, the what? The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. The word, the things that he said, his word. Listen to what that did not say. That did not say we'll be judged by the opinions of men. That did not say that we'll be judged by the traditions of men. It did not say we'd be judged by the teachings of men. What did it say we'd be judged by? His word. Let's be in agreement. Isn't that important? That's important. Jack, Daryl will bring you the microphone. That's important, period. Jim will bring you the microphone. Sorry. Go ahead.
That just, you know, brings me back to my invitation that I gave a couple of weeks ago on the Book of Life in Revelations. You know, it said that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Uh-huh.
I believe that when he says the books, there's, I say, at least three. One of them is the Book of Life. And in the Old Testament, there was a Book of Law that was constantly being referred to. So those people who lived under that dispensation are going to be judged out of that book, how they did according to his command, statutes, and judgments. Mm-hmm. And I believe that for us, we're going to be judged out of the New Testament and dealing with those things. And this is where Jesus has spoken his words, is in the New Testament. You know, like Hebrews says, you know, he spoke in old, but now he's spoken unto us by his Son.
Right.
So he's the one who's given these instructions that we're going to be judged for our deeds.
That's right. That's right. I want to read another verse for you. In John, the 17th chapter, in verse 22, Jesus here is still speaking. He says, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one." What that's referring to is it was the night before Jesus' crucifixion, and he prayed that the disciples be all what? How many? One. One. So let's remember that when we divide, we destroy that vision. That's just the fact of the matter. Well, just as our book begins, one of the things that has given the Lord's people trouble down through the years is, to tell you the truth, I'm not even sure how to describe it other than, and I don't mean to be ugly by how I'm fixing to describe this, but I'm gonna call it the I'm gonna call them the one cuppers, okay? I don't mean anything bad by that because they would refer to themselves as that. They would be referred to as a one cup congregation. And what that's talking about is they believe that you need to use only one cup on the Lord's table. John, will you switch that picture? That is a real cup, just one. And you can see, I don't know if you can see the round right in the middle. That's a penny. Just to put that in perspective. That's a songbook laying beside it. But that is a cup used today in a one cup congregation. It holds about 24 ounces of liquid. And that's the only cup that they use, and that's how they distribute the Lord's Supper. And they pass that around, and everyone drinks out of it. So in case you didn't know what that was about, that's what that's about. Now switch it back, John, please. We'll refer to that again in a minute. But that's caused division over the years. And I think I listed for you, back a few classes, ago about there being five different divisions of people who would classify themselves in that designation. And I'm sorry, I thought I had that right in front of me here. Well, but anyway. And there are, and they all have to do with different things about using one cup in serving of the Lord's Supper. I can't find that. And they are, I'll try to run over them from memory. One of them is that they use one cup in the assembly, that they would use one loaf of bread. They would also not have separated Bible classes. Everybody would meet in one room. Another, that's one. One group would say that we're going to drink out of one, or it is, you have to drink out of one cup, and it would have to be fermented wine. And they may or may not break up into separate Bible classes. Another one, would say that we partake out of one cup, but that the bread had to be broken at the table before it is dispersed into the congregation. Another would use one cup for the fruit of the vine, but they would say that the bread could only be broken as each participant partakes of it. So they would use only one loaf and pass that around. We can look at those things and think they're peculiar. But they may look at us and think we're peculiar. Now, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ that would do that. And, you know, there's a part of me that wants to... those are things that have separated us as a group of God's people down through the years. And lines have been drawn. And people have said, you know what? If you don't do it the way we do it, we're not going to have anything to do with you. Does that make sense? I'm not saying does that make sense. You understand what I'm saying, what I'm describing for you. Here's where we have to be. And there's a part of me that wants to draw a line and say, you know what? let me just speak personally for you for a minute. Remember what we talked about when it's easier to hate the sinner than it is the sin? This kind of falls in the same thing. It's a whole lot easier for me to say, well, you know what? You're wrong. And I'm right. And I want to win that battle. Or I want to win this war. And that's really not what this is about. When we think, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Before we talk about this, I want us to think about something and understand something. I want us to think about binding something. Do you understand what I mean by that? By binding something. Does anybody want to define what I mean by that? Jim?
It's basically, it's holding somebody accountable for what you believe.
That's right. Now, okay, that's a good definition of that. Well, let's try to illustrate that. Let's say that I like to wear black socks. Now, I don't have on black socks right now. But let's say that I did. And let's say I go up to Brother Gary back here. I say, Gary, where are your black socks? Don't you know you're in worship? Now, that's kind of kooky, isn't it? But I think y'all wear black socks. Okay? I'm playing that role right this minute. Well, Gary, where's your black socks? Well, Gary, you're not quite as spiritual as I am because you don't have black socks on. Well, you know, Gary, you can't worship if you don't have your black socks on. Now, what's Gary going to say? Hey, Gary's going to think I'm a nut, aren't you? Gary nodded once. Thank you for not. Well, he's nodding still. Watch out, Gary. He's going to think I'm kind of a kook, you know. I'm kind of nutty. And he's going to probably say, well, where are you finding that in the Bible, you know? Well, or maybe it's one of the things like we mentioned before, and I don't think it's right to split stove wood. And Gary says, well, where do you find that in the Bible? And I said, well, what the Lord put together, let not man put asunder. But see, Gary likes splitting stove wood, and I don't. So I'm going to pick me a verse, and I found it. Now, I don't know where the one about black socks is. There may be one in there, but I don't know where it is. Well, now, that does sound rather peculiar. It sounds rather strange. But let me tell you of something real. And I didn't do this till... you'll understand this in a minute. I know of a situation where somebody said, a member of the church said that an elder couldn't wear blue jeans. Now, please don't look at what I'm wearing, because I got on blue jeans. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, wait just a minute. Let's qualify that. Now, what if I was wearing these blue jeans? Y'all pardon me just a minute, but what if they was cut up to about there? Now, what about that? What? Well, that'd be peculiar, wouldn't it? Now, we got a different thing we're talking about there, right? We got a modesty. And I'm going to tell you, I've known some preachers before who wore such tight pants that people were talking about. That's not just a made up story. That's real. When they'd enter the pulpit, it's a wonder they didn't bust when they entered. I'm not talking about because they're fat like me. I'm talking about they wore such tight pants. They left nothing to the imagination. Now that's a different thing. But what about a sin that an elder couldn't wear blue jeans on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night? Let's think about those things, okay? Let's go extreme the other way. Because this is one I heard with my own ears. When society says that homosexuality is okay, and society says that homosexual marriage is okay, and a member of the church comes and says, well, you know what? Society says that's okay, so you know what? The church has to say it's okay too. Now what about that? Yeah, now we laugh about that. And we think that would never happen. But you know what? That happened in this building. And we've only been in here 10 years. So, you know, we can think, oh, that'll never happen. But you see how things like that, you see how the devil's out to get us. And he's out to split us any way he can. And one way he does that is because we're human. And you know what I want, and because I like black socks, you know, I think Gary ought to wear black socks too. You see, I'm trying to be as far out as I can, but you know, you can't be far out enough, but what somebody is not further out. Does that make sense? Okay. Let me ask this question. Do you understand then why I say and why I talk to you about so much about being people of the book? Does that make sense? Why I say that? Jack, you get another comment? They'll bring you the mic. But churches, individual congregations, go ahead, Jack.
I just wanted to point out, you know, like in the lesson here, here's a place where it's binding, and I think when you're starting out looking for something there, they, in Old Paz Advocate, February 1948, mm-hmm. it actually sounds like they wrote this out, mm-hmm. making this binding.
Yes.
Notice, in the communion service there shall be but one cup or drinking vessel from which all participants shall drink during any service as opposed to the use of two, three, four, or individual cups. But one loaf of unleavened bread shall be used from which all participants shall break and eat as opposed to the official breaking of the loaf into two or more sections before being passed out to the participants. No preacher, teacher, or leader who is not in full agreement with the above-named principles shall be allowed to have any part or lot in the teaching, preaching, or leadership of said church. Mm-hmm. That's binding. Now, I'm sure that's that right. That's something that they were going to hold in that congregation or congregations to hold binding
that is
on
right.
upon all the people. And when you think about that one cup you said holding 24 ounces, mm-hmm. how could 100 people drink out of that? And I see that most of those one cup congregations don't have big congregations.
That's true.
Probably for that reason.
Well, we're going to talk about that because we're going to look at what they did in the Bible. And we're getting there. And you're right, that the what you referred to and what you read is really a creed. That's what that is. Many of them referred to it as putting the creed in the deed. They would write those things into the deed of the building and say that, and there was other things that had to do with that as well. But that's where lines were drawn and fellowship was disconnected and and they saw those things as fellowship issues. Now, well, I'll get back to that in a minute. But churches, individual congregations, they have the right to vary in their observance of the Lord's Supper. Now, hear me out here. Don't think, oh, I'm far out here. Listen to what I'm saying. Individual congregations have the right to vary in their observance of the Lord's Supper. But listen. As long as it does not alter Jesus' instructions. Period. In Matthew 28, in Matthew the 28th chapter in verse 20, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them what? To observe all that I commanded you. So, anyone who would change, add to, or take away from what the New Testament teaches, they are disobeying by failing to observe all that it commands of us. Period. Now, don't you believe that because I said it. You believe it because you're a person of the book. You know, and I tell you, I like recent history. I like history that I know people who were alive. They're dead now, but I could have known them or known people that knew them. And there's so many people like that in the church and those who went on before us. And I'm a firm believer that for us to go forward, we have to look back. And the reason we do is we have to know where we came from. And we have to know, and look what's the word I'm looking for? Something when you do something wrong. When you make mistakes. We have to look at mistakes from the past and we have to learn from them. And we have to learn to not do them again. You remember back a few classes ago when I told you the things that I would say to my Catholic friends? Learn from your mistakes and turn around and don't do those anymore and use your opportunities for good. But during the early years of the Restoration Movement, John, will you switch that again? During the early years of the Restoration Movement, the majority of congregations that on the sign out front read Church of Christ, the majority of them used only one vessel in serving the fruit of the vine. Now, it may not have looked like that. You know, and this is just a side note. One of the things that bothers me about that is it looks kind of showy. You know, it's silver. I don't know if it's solid. It's whatever you know, the silver stuff that sits in the dining room. Sterling silver. I'm sure it's probably something like that. I don't know. Something about that bothers me. Just the fact that it's like that. But, larger congregations, and like Jack said, most of the congregations were small. Larger congregations started using two cups. They'd use one to serve, and then they had another that they'd fill that one up with. Because 24 ounces, I don't know. There's someone in this room who told me about a man who would sit on the front row. And when the cup was passed, you know what they did? What? Would drink all of it. Now that sounds like something I'd do. But they're missing that. They're missing that, aren't they? We're getting there. The congregation in Bethany, Virginia, which is West Virginia now, where Thomas and Alexander Campbell preached, they used two cups. Have any idea why? Well, there's only two. It wasn't like this. It was just split in the middle, you know, and there's one side here and one side. But guess who sat on this side and who sat on, I don't know which side it was switched, but guess who sat on one side? The men. And guess who sat on, there's only one choice on this, ain't there? Well, I guess today there ain't, but. And this side, who sat on here? The women. You know why they used two cups though? You have any idea why?
The men didn't want lipstick on there.
Well, you're close, Jack. What, you know what men did back then? They chewed tobacco. And the women didn't want, they didn't want to drink after them men chewing that tobacco. Because you know there's going to be that backwash in there. That's nasty. Now my grandmother dipped snuff, you know, and she had that brush in. She always looked like she had dirt in her mouth. And that's nasty too. I don't know how she ever got married. I wouldn't want to kiss no woman had that in her mouth. You know? When I was a little kid, we'd get in the spit trough by our chair, you know, and turn that thing over, and it was a mess. But that's why they use two cups. Well, another thing happened in the 19th century that developed, and it was tuberculosis. You know, that's becoming something again that we can be concerned about. But that prompted many congregations to replace a single cup with small individual cups. Some congregations still only used one cup because they were confident that they were doing what they should do and that God would protect them if they continued doing that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the..." I think it's my... Oh, it came back up. In Luke 22, verse 20, it says, "And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Well, I want you to notice when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, he spoke as if his blood had been poured out. Jesus meant his blood. His blood, what represents his blood? The fruit of the vine. Well, Jesus' blood would be poured out on the cross for the disciples. But we've talked about this many times. What two things matter in us partaking of the Lord's Supper? They have to do with Jesus. Jesus is what? His body. And his what? His blood. And nothing else. The two elements we talked about when we were in Kroger, they mean nothing by themselves, but the fact that he chose those two things made them special. Period. Well, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 21. It says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." Now let's look at the 11th chapter, verse 25. Beginning in verse 25, it says, "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant.'" The King James uses the word New Testament. "In my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." You remember how we say when people try to take things out of context and use only one verse, and if you keep reading, usually if it's something that's false, if you keep reading a couple of verses, it'll answer the question for us, either a couple before or a couple after. Here's a prime example of that. When we read those earlier verses, verse 27 tells us what it is, the body and the blood of the Lord. Period. That gives us the answer. It didn't say not the cup or not the container. Now, here's what I want you to know. I'm not trying to win a battle. I'm not trying to win a debate. I'm not trying to say that somebody who uses one cup is wrong, because I don't think I can do that. I don't think the Bible will allow me to do that. What it goes back to is when we start to bind something on someone that the Bible won't allow us to bind. Does that make sense? Well, I think we have to be consistent. And there's a part of me that does not want to do that. But the Bible forces me to do that. It forces me to be that way. I want us to understand that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he referred to the contents of the cup, not the cup itself. How on earth could any of us drink that cup? I mean, if it was a sippy cup up there, could you drink that? We might could melt it down, but I believe if we drunk it, we'd be dead in this liquid drinkable form. We're talking about what's inside of it. So we can get so wrapped up on some things that, the congregation where this cup is used, it's not in this state. It's many, many states away from here. They do not, listen to me, they do not bind that. But that's what they believe by their study of the scriptures that they need to do. And you know what? It does not violate what the Bible tells them to do. And they don't think I'm wrong because I think it's okay to use multiple cups. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells me that I can't say they're wrong because they use that one, because we're both fulfilling the same exact thing. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to say that to get you to believe what I believe. I'm saying we need to be people of the book. And there's a part of me that don't want to say that, but the Bible will not let me say that. There was a time in my life when I would have said it, but it's not today. I can't say that. We have to calmly realize that we cannot drink that cup. Then only the container, and only that container. You know, if Paul had meant that only one container, then we could have used only that container, period. Not one in each congregation, but one, period, for the whole world. We have to think about this realistically. The book refers us, when we talk about the cup, it uses the word metonymy. Our book referenced that. It's a figure of speech. It's where one word or phrase is used to represent something else. You know, we can illustrate that by saying, Brother Whitaker, can you count heads in here tonight? Now, do I literally want him to count you heads or what? We just want him to count the people, right? So, we could say, well, you know, he ate that whole dish. Now, you can't eat a dish. You can eat what's on the dish. You know, or if it's a wino, he sure likes the bottle. Well, let me tell you something. It ain't the bottle he likes. It's the contents what's in the bottle that the wino likes. Think about that. We don't have time to read all these verses, but think about that. In Luke 22 and 20, 1 Corinthians 11, 25, if Jesus meant the container instead of the contents, then that cup would be the only cup we could use, period. If he said one container per congregation, that would have meant that there would have been one container in every congregation, and that's how we better do that, Gary.
Do we even know when Christ established the Lord's Supper, he just said the wine, he didn't say the fruit of the vine, but he didn't say how many cups were used when he did that, right?
Mm-mm.
I mean, all around the table, you got 12 people there, but he doesn't say.
Well, they divided it. You know, we don't know how he divided it.
That's what I'm asking. Is there anything that says how he done it.
In Luke's account, shows that he gave it to him. It says, divide it amongst yourselves.
Right. Divide it.
So they must have divided it in their individual cups then.
Could they have poured it in their hand?
If they had.
They couldn't have? They might have.
I've never read anywhere where it says.
But it didn't say they didn't pour it in their hand. It didn't say they took a gallon jug. Well, we know they didn't have plastic jugs. But, you know, what about a crop? It tells us what to do to observe. You know, it's like singing. We're commanded to sing. Well, how do you do that? We don't have to have song books. We could pass it out on a paper. We could flash it on an overhead projector. There's lots of different ways we could do it. We could do it by memory. Lots of different things, ways that we could do that. In Hebrews 9 and verse 18, it says, therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. The first covenant, the one God made with Israel, was dedicated with the blood of animals. But it was the blood of Jesus, represented by what? The fruit of the vine, not the container. It wasn't the container that dedicated the new covenant. It was the contents of it. Well, so what does that mean for you and me today? What's that mean for us? Well, let me just say this. This is me talking, okay? I want you to read your Bible and I want you to understand what the scriptures say. There is no wrong or harm done if a congregation chooses to drink from one container, but to demand that and to cause division over it, that would mean that we've bound laws that are not found in the New Testament. And we're going to suffer the penalty for that. Keith?
That was my question, just about what you were talking about right there. The congregations that still do one cup. Mm-hmm. Unless that's on a sign out front or something, and I stop at that congregation, mm-hmm. and I have a problem with that, unless they made arrangements for me to be able to do it otherwise, it would be binding.
That is correct. It depends on what, you know, there are folks who would not make that an issue. And, the congregation where, as a matter of fact, the preacher where that table is, he's a man of the book, okay? He studies the Bible. That's what he believes, but he also believes it's a travesty that we're divided over that. So, you know, can those things be resolved? Yes, they can be. You know, would it be better to use, if it come down to the fact of splitting a congregation and us deciding whether to use one cup or to use multiple cups, you know what? The best decision is to not split the congregation. Because we're talking about a decision. We're not talking about a right and a wrong. We're talking about a decision. It's like, it's going back to the wearing black socks or not. You know, if we all in here decided that we needed to wear black socks, now, we can get a little kooky with that and think that that makes us spiritual or something. We can do that by thinking using that one cup makes us more spiritual. As a matter of fact, the problem is the congregations that want to bind that. And they're studying those things. There's men who've left those congregations that don't do that. There are also men who've left multiple cup congregations and gone to those congregations because they studied the scriptures and that's what they thought for themselves. They had to do that because that's what was right.
That was something that you just touched on that I was going to ask. If someone stands in the pulpit, mm-hmm. and tells us that it has to be one cup, Are you going to say that that would be a right decision? Because that would be stressing the container.
Yes.
I could not support that.
I
understand your black sock analogy,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's a little deeper than black sock analogy. Opinion is opinion, but
that's where I'm talking about a congregation binding that, mm-hmm. you know.
But someone has to be preaching that or teaching that.
Yes.
Or it would not be being done.
That's right. You know, it goes somewhat, and let me say this real quick. I hate to muddy the water with this, but a lot of times the congregations who use one cup also have no Bible classes. I really have a problem with that personally, at not having that, but I'm going to tell you, where they go to the scriptures, and who's given the responsibility to teach our families? The men, the families. And so if we all decided that, you know, we are going to take on that responsibility. My fear personally is that it won't get done. That's why I think that's a foolish thing. But I cannot, if someone that says we are going to do this, we're going to teach our families, we're going to take responsibility for it, and we're going to make sure that we're teaching the Bible in our homes, I'm going to tell you something. They're doing exactly what the Bible tells them to do. So that's where we have to be careful. Jim. Do what now? Sunday morning will be Sunday night communion, the next lesson. So be prepared for that. Thank you for your comments and your questions.